Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre. Welcome in. You are indeed listening live to Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you on a Tuesday night, July the 12th, 2022. I'm Dre. He's Jay. Got a hot hour of whatever the hell we want to talk about. Might be sports, might be other things. The last couple of shows have had literally no sports talk at all. I mean, you know, maybe a topic here or there. So got a few things that have happened in the sports world that are of some interest, and we'll definitely get to those tonight. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thought it'd be a good idea. You know, you're going to be going off on your trip here soon. Get one final, what might be one of our last Kings of Non Sequitur shows in before we start falling into our pattern. We got Hall of Infamies coming up. Then we've got maybe one more show in between that and our football preview that we usually will do. So, and then that's usually a fairly football-heavy show because we're talking about, you know, developments and injuries and, you know, things that have happened. Even though we don't talk much about preseason, sometimes there's a lot of stories. And there's a lot of stories, so we're not usually story-heavy. But sometimes they're big enough that they're worth talking about. So this one we can just talk about whatever the hell we want, good old potpourri show. Last show we had was Hard Truths. That had some, you know, some structure to it because you had some things you had to get off your chest. So now we can kind of play a little catch up here and do a little summer rewind.
I always have things to get off my chest. I could do that every day. I could have a 1 or 2 hour show about Hard Truths every single day of the week. And then some people actually do that and get paid handsomely for it. I wish I could be one of those people.
You should look into that.
I wish I was that talented. You briefly went through our upcoming schedule for our loyal listeners. So it looks like the weekend after when I get back from my...
Good night, sweetheart. I wasn't talking to you, Drake.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'm disappointed.
Cute Factor ran in and gave me a hug.
Okay. I didn't know what that was. I thought you said ow, like you got hurt. I'm like, what are you doing over
well,
there?
Well, yeah, because she went to give me a hug and her head jammed into my earphone.
Oh. love hurts sometimes.
Yeah.
The weekend of, what was it, the 23rd you said for the baseball?
Yes.
23rd, 24th. Sunday the 24th is probably when we're going to come back on for our Baseball Hall of Infamy, hosted this year by Jay. And I'll be just along for the ride. Won't be a problem for me getting back in town the Saturday before the 23rd, and then I don't really have to do any preparation. So Jay will be handling the festivities that evening. And then we talked about for the Football Hall of Infamy done by me this year, somewhere on the weekend, around the weekend of August the 6th, because you'll be going out of town the 7th. Is that right?
That is correct.
So,
my vacation starts on Sunday the 7th, but since that show will be primarily handled by you.
Yep.
Good night. Yeah, other than just doing some packing or some last-minute laundry, I won't have much going on that night. So
we're looking at that weekend. And I'm sure I know the Hall of Fame game is the 4th of August.
Yes, Friday the
4th. Thursday. And
Thursday.
We're looking at...
Sorry.
Yeah, so we're looking at either Friday or Saturday, whichever day I decide to do the Football Hall of Infamy show, and Jay will be along for the ride for that. So that's the Hall of Infamy schedule. As Jay said, we usually get one more show in before we get down to brass tacks and make our AFC and NFC previews at the end of the month after the exhibition season has finished. And I don't want to get any hopes up. I haven't asked at all, but since they've never turned me down before, I would get some excitement and hope that if I do ask them to come on for an August show, a little NFL preview possibly with Renard and Cass, and I'll definitely reach out to them for that after I get back in town. They're always
something different this year because they've always invited us on their show before.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never been able to go on their show, the both of us, but I'm off Sundays now.
There you go. We can make an appearance. And
so we can invade their podcast and grace them with our presence as they've done for us many times.
And they were off. Their show was not a show the last maybe year or two. But I believe I was reading on one of their profiles, I believe Cass's Twitter, that they're intending to start back this year. So that would be perfect that we can then come back and grace our grace their show with our presence as they return back to what they do.
They must have heard I was off on Sundays.
They had to scramble and get back immediately.
Yeah.
We can get Jay on now. Yeah.
Change of plans, everybody.
Got their big production crew back together and put the band back together and get the show on the road.
You don't need, I think we've proven, you don't need a production crew.
I mean, if you can get one, it's better to have one than
I mean, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. I don't have that
I'd
kind
love,
of money.
I'd love to have someone pull sound clips for us and old clips from the show and, you know, put some little highlight reel packages together and stuff for us. That would be great.
I would also like someone that would be able to sit there and do sound drops while we're talking so that I don't have to talk and also search for the sound drops at the same time, which is not easy. That's a dream. All we can do is dream. I have no idea where you want to start, what you want to get to. I charted out some stuff in the show description just because we got to talk about something.
We had to drop in this show at the last minute. You know, we just had to get this one in because the Bears traded for N'Keal Harry today.
huge news for my Chicago Bears.
Wow.
Blockbuster.
You got to be Super Bowl or bust right now, right? I mean, drink that Kool-Aid, sir.
Well, they had to do something after this spectacular summer and off-season in which they managed to get not one, not two, but three different members of their roster arrested. Now, it's a long-standing tradition for us to make fun of the NFL offseason on this show and how it seems to just be, you know, arrest season. Oh, we know the NFL offseason has started because people start getting arrested. But I'm hard-pressed to remember a team pulling off a trifecta like that, to have three separate members of their roster get put in handcuffs in the same offseason. That might be some kind of record. So congrats. Good job out of the new Bears brass just starting up. What a way to hit the ground running for the new GM.
You should be so proud.
As far as N'Keal Harry, they gave up a seventh round pick. That's literally nothing.
They didn't even give up a seventh round pick. They gave up a seventh round pick next year, not this upcoming draft, the draft after.
They gave up a 2024 seventh rounder. Pick.
Yeah.
I mean, the one next year might be too valuable. They're going to be so bad.
Yeah.
Can't risk the number 180-something. You got to push it out even farther, so maybe it'll be 199.
Don't you worry. That seventh rounder, Bill Belichick, he's picking a Hall of Famer.
But Pro Bowler, multiple-time Pro Bowl, offensive lineman, something. Yeah, someone great, no doubt. No doubt about it.
I figured that would be exciting news for you that the Bears, I mean, obviously, they paid nothing.
Right.
So it can't hurt.
My issue is that they just don't have good wide receivers. Like this is another addition to a wide receiver room that's already lacking in talent, and they just added somebody else who also appears to be lacking in talent, although he might be the best in that room now, which doesn't really say anything about the room. As always, Justin, good luck, kid.
So the Kool-Aid's not going down as easy this year as it was last offseason, it sounds like.
Well, I already put my cards on the table as far as Chicago this season. Like, they can go 2-15, and it doesn't really matter. They don't have the talent. They're not going to compete. They're not winning the division. They're not getting a playoff spot. It's all about Justin Fields getting the reps and developing and right. getting those yips out of himself, because he clearly is he was a rookie, so it's not like I'm trashing him or saying that he shouldn't have, but he clearly had some issues last year avoiding pressure, and the speed of the game was clearly a problem. It got much better at it as the season went along, but man, those first few games it was not good. So that's all I'm concerned about. Hopefully that he gets enough reps to get those yips out of him without getting too many reps and getting too many hits is what I'm concerned with.
And it's not even getting Justin Fields more reps. It was getting Matt Nagy gone.
That helps too.
Because there was no playbook written for Justin Fields. Justin Fields was running the Andy Dalton playbook.
So wrong. That just absolutely wrong to have no game plan to use the guy's skills as best you could. Like, any coach would have done that. That's not even hard. Just you look at the field, you look at your player, and you see how different he is from your QB1. Andy Dalton, and you go, okay, let's throw this out, that out, this out, this, that out, and let's bring in some things that actually puts Justin Fields' skills to use much better, and he didn't do it. He just refused to do it. I hypothesized at the time that I really, and I still believe it, I think he was just trying to string everything out and be able to go back to Virginia McCaskey and say, you got to give me one more year. The kid just wasn't ready. You see how unprepared he was. Let's ignore the fact that I'm the one that unprepared him. He wasn't ready. He was unprepared, and I need another year. You got to give me one more year with the kid. And Virginia was like, no, fuck this. You're done. Get out.
Good. And that should have been the response the previous season. But they
perhaps
go on that 3-4 stretch at the end and make the,
right.
that playoff
salvage
game.
Salvage of the year, yeah.
And if that playoff game didn't leave you wanting, you know. We knew, but at that point we were like, oh, no, they're bringing him back. And you and I both knew it was going to be a disaster, and it turned out to be a disaster. But, yeah, I sort of tongue-in-cheek was giving you high praise for that N'Keal Harry pickup, because it's a slow news day.
The, of course, biggest NFL news of the summer happened with Baker Mayfield moving on, and the Cleveland Browns, they finally completely committed to the Deshaun Watson thing, the mistake, the situation. Like, the whole thing feels icky and terrible, and it doesn't get any better as the days go on and the waiting stretches out and everyone waits to see what the punishment finally is going to be for him getting himself sued by 20-something odd massage therapists, I guess you would call them.
Yeah, and was it 25? But 20, I believe, are settled. It's a huge, whatever the number is. I mean, what number would we be looking at going, that's not so bad?
That's not so bad. Oh, 4? Oh, that's nothing.
Oh, yeah. Really? I mean, no, 1 was enough. I mean, but 25, but he settled with 20 of them. So, he ponied up for 20 of them, but then you still have the lawsuit hanging out there. Most recent thing I heard said that the NFL and the union and all the parties sort of involved are bouncing somewhere between a 12 to 16 game ban.
It always seemed like a year was on the table. It always felt like that was sort of what everyone was angling for and what all the rumors were. And so, yeah, that wouldn't be surprising at all if that's what comes out. So,
and what I'm hearing is that the NFL is pushing hard for whatever kind of a ban he gets, he will have to apply for reinstatement, because he gets suspended and then, 18 more women come forward,
exactly.
So it's not going to be insubstantial. And so the Browns decide to trade Baker Mayfield for a 5.
And they got what they could.
Man, I mean,
the mighty have fallen.
If that was the market And we have more of a mid-season. They extended the trade deadline, right?
I believe so, yeah.
If all you can pry out of somebody is a five, don't you let the season – just run him out there. He'd be a lame duck anyways. Run him out there. Let him play. Maybe he builds up some trade value, you know, some capital. He shows them, you know, or maybe they get hot. They catch fire. They don't feel so, you know, required to go back to Deshaun Watson right away, because he could be gone for the whole year. So
he could. It's a conditional 2024 fifth round pick again, going out a year. 2023 is not the year apparently for draft picks. Everybody wants to trade.
No, this must be a huge draft coming up that nobody wants to trade any of these 2023 draft picks.
I guess. So 2024-5, Mayfield also had to agree to take a $3.5 million pay cut to get out of it. I think this is why they had to take what they could. That relationship was completely, and we've seen relationships get strained to the point of no return, and then somehow the player returns. But I think this was where Baker sort of looked around and said, you traded for that guy? Really? After all I went through with a broken back and playing like shit, just trying to struggle and keep my team alive and my franchise, and then you turn around and trade for this chode? This is what you think of me? Really? Okay. Yeah, I think that was just – they had to get rid of him because it felt like they're going to have to cut him all offseason because there didn't seem to be much of a market. There was a bunch of rumors. Denver, and then they get Russell Wilson. Seattle had been rumored all this time, but – everything that came out of the Seahawks camp was like, no, we're not interested at all. I think they really honestly got what they could, the best they could from the Carolina Panthers. From the Browns standpoint, I think they did what they could. I think they had to get rid of them. They had to move on. The relationship was over. Watch this whole situation with a raised eyebrow is they had to know that the Deshaun Watson punishment was probably going to result in this season being a wash.
Yeah.
Now the Baker Mayfield deal, what are you left with? You're with Jack Brisket for the entire season, Jacoby Brissett, and this is not really, you know, going forward a playoff type of situation. If your quarterback is your number one quarterback is Jacoby Brissett, I don't even know who would be behind him, but you go from Baker and for all his faults, and he wasn't very good, and we both, you know, trashed the pick when it happened because just number one overall, did not strike us as someone who deserved that. But I'll give him his due. He tried like hell. He wasn't great. He had some flashes. He showed some flashes where, you know, again, I know I bring him up every time. Sam Bradford, to me, never showed flashes of being a number one overall pick. At least Baker Mayfield at times showed flashes like, okay, I think I kind of see why they did that. But overall, just not very good. And then last year, by the metrics, by the eye test, by watching, whatever measurement you want to see, he got worse and worse and worse and worse, probably because he's trying to play through broken bones in his back, which I can't even imagine how much pain he had to have been in, how much he was getting shot up all year. And his coach probably should have just sat his ass down at some point, Kevin Stefanski, but he chose not to. And then at the end, this is the payment that he gets for sacrificing and doing that as he gets shuttled off to the Panthers. I think the Browns are in contention, not for a playoff spot, but for worst organization in the league. They're running for it. They are going for it right along with the Texans, where Deshaun Watson came from. And the, what are they now? The Commanders, the Commandos.
Oh.
They're right there. Yeah. They're in the running.
Team.
Right.
Commanders is making me wistful for Washington football team.
Right. As terrible as Washington football team was, I think I'm with you. I think I prefer that over Commanders because that's just dumb. But I don't like the Browns outlook at all this season. you know, with Baker or without, but at least with Baker, you have a, you know, a representative chance at a playoff spot. You have a guy that actually has, you know, gone to Pittsburgh and won a playoff game, and he's actually done some things. Without him, what are you doing? What are the Browns doing, and how are they going to contend this year with Jack Brisket as their quarterback? They did what they had to do, but I don't like the Browns' outlook right now.
Yeah, that's a completely loaded roster. So let's not forget what the Cleveland Browns achieved, or shall we say underachieved, the last few years with Baker. I mean, they still they weren't getting it done. You know, and that's where it really comes down to, is with all that talent, right? And you look at they've got Chubb and Hunt, and they've got what they brought in, David Njoku. And let's look at this wide receiver room. I'm looking at it right now. Amari Cooper. They got Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and then some guys. But that's just crazy how loaded up that team has been. Plus, they have that defense. That defense has been great. I mean, they have had we've talked about that they've been a quarterback away, right?
They're one of those really teams that have been winning despite their quarterback, not
despite their quarterbacks, right? Right. We talk about it. And the Browns are a team that we talk about that all the time, which is funny because as soon as Baker got traded, boy, Twitter explodes. The social medias were blowing up with just how amazing Baker Mayfield is. And he brought that franchise back from nothing. And you know what Baker Mayfield did? He played mediocre quarterback and he did some really funny commercials.
That's his legacy.
That's what he did. So he gets to go to Carolina now, where I don't even know how indebted do they even feel to him in Carolina. Because they gave Sam Darnold the bag. I mean, he's on a pretty hefty contract. So
the Roto World write-up about the trade mentions that exact point with Mayfield and Darnold, that's now the number one and number three overall pick from the 2018 draft. So they got two of the top three quarterbacks in that draft, or two of the top three picks in that draft. And if you put them together, you might have a pretty damn good quarterback, but you can't put them together. You can't play them both at the same time, I don't think.
That's actually really funny. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah, when you see the list of the quarterbacks that were drafted after them, and I think the two big ones that jump out were Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I wonder how that's going to look, you know, 10 years from now when they decide to do the, you know, whatever was it, 2018?
Yeah.
Well, let's do the 2018 draft redraft.
Darnold, $18.86 million this year. It's fully guaranteed. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
Baker's money is now fully guaranteed. He's not going to. Yeah, it's basically going to be like a battle all year between them. And would it surprise either one of us if they wound up switching back and forth all year? All right, Baker's hot now. Keep him in there, and then 3 weeks later, he threw four interceptions. Darnold, get in there.
Yeah, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one, right?
Exactly.
And that's going to be short hook, I think, all season long. Somewhere it's going to be Darnold's job when he starts, and maybe they start hot again, and you know, and then he hits the wall or he gets hurt, and then here comes Baker. It's going to be kind of ugly. And, you know, and Baker, we could talk about, you know, the Panthers. Well, one of the Panthers was that Robbie Anderson didn't even want him and then backtracked. And he was like, well, no, I was just supporting my quarterback. Okay.
Yeah, when the rumors first started about possibly acquiring Darnold, Anderson responded to one of those stories on Twitter with just the word, no, about five O's.
So,
which was a great, and then they wind up trading for him anyway.
Yeah, good luck winning that locker room. Well, and he was rumored to go multiple places. Apparently, Seattle didn't want him. They'd rather go with that quarterback room of Drew Locke and, oh, God, Geno Smith.
Yeah, when you're committed to mediocrity, you stick with what you got. Why give up capital and assets to bring in more mediocrity? I mean,
right.
And
I guess if you're Seattle, why would you spend anything? Because you know you're a last-place team.
Right, you know Seattle's you're not
gonna,
really in
right,
contention.
No. Seattle's going to be one of the worst teams in football this year. I mean, it's over. I mean, they're in a division with the Rams, the Cardinals, and the 49ers, they're going to get just ran out, and they have no quarterback. So, hey,
right.
Just at that point, you know you're trash. Why would you even make that? Why give up any draft capital for a quarterback who, oh, wait, now we're going to win four games instead of three?
Yeah, Russell Wilson saw that writing on the wall, and he was angling to get the hell out of there for a long time, and he finally did.
Yeah, you should have listened to our preview show last year, because I torpedoed them pretty hard.
Yeah, you knew. You saw it.
I was my sights were set on, well, they did, you know, and as the season went on, it really became apparent. You know, you could just see. I mean, you were more critical of Pete Carroll even than I was last season, just how sort of intransigent he was in not being willing to change his game plan. And, you know, first down, second down, 1 yard gain, and then Russbaum, that's not a game plan.
Folks, you listen to this podcast for those million-dollar words. You listen for us being groggy and sleepy after a full day of work and then dropping intransigent on you just
out of nowhere.
I love that. No, that's who we are. That's what we do.
Yeah, there you go. That one's free. I believe I used that properly in a sentence.
And I believe you did. There's one other small NFL quarterback piece of news in the last couple of weeks, and it's
do you
the
use
silliest
that word
thing. The news with a Z, the news, which shows how silly the article is or the piece of news would be. We've gotten as much as we've known each other since first grade and been best friends and all that. I think we've gotten to know each other even better since starting this podcast, in which you always groan when I bring this up, in which we're about to start our 10th season of this podcast coming up
Ten.
In September.
Ten.
Or at the end of August. 10 years. I think we've gotten to know each other even a little better. I now know that bringing up this story is going to result in you saying, who cares? I have no interest. I have no comment about the story. So I already know.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm really excited to hear about this one.
Well, the Zach Wilson thing, did you read anything about it? Do you know anything about
it? I did not. So I paid no attention to it to begin with. So that means I'm getting the news straight from you.
Oh, the fourth hand. Awesome. I paid no attention to it either, as far as I'm reading Twitter and I'm seeing his name trend one evening and I go, whatever. And then the next day or the next evening, I saw it trending still, and I'm like, why? Oh, okay. And then, like, the third evening of his name trending, I finally had to click on his fucking name and why is this idiot trending on Twitter all this time? And I read the why it's trending, and it's like, oh my god, what in the hell? It is a perfect 2022 young generation type story. So to the best of my knowledge, this is how it went. The news of what his ex-girlfriend was now doing, which was apparently dating his best friend and former teammate from Brigham Young. So that's a little scandalous. Okay. So that's how it all started, is his, you know, the people that know them in their circle of friends or whatever, giving her some heat for now dating his one of his friends and one of his teammates, which can be a little, you know, squirrely. And apparently she decided to come back and was feeling that heat and decided, all right, this is what I'm going to do to get this heat off. I'm going to talk about him. Wait a minute. You guys are giving me all this shit about what I'm doing? Well, Zach Wilson fucked his mother's best friend. And I think she did that honestly thinking, well, this will get the heat off me. This will make him look like a scumbag. And this will get all the, you know, everybody hating on him and talking about him. And it's a perfect story in 2022 with the whole social media angle. And it's also perfect for people that young in that age group. And it's also perfect that these are all, you know, Brigham Young people that are involved that are, you know, relatively inexperienced when it comes to sexual things of that nature, because I honestly, from what I'm reading, I honestly think she thought this would make him look like the bad guy, and she had absolutely no idea of how our culture and our society works. Zach Wilson trended for 3 days or so because everyone was, you know, propping him up and pushing him up and saying, dog, you the man, you got that dog in you, because he was doing the MILF thing. Apparently they don't know anything about MILF and that's a big fetish and that's a big thing and people love MILFs. And he was being exalted and is still to, you know, being exalted, and everyone talking about what's going to happen when he gets to training camp. This is going to be a thing. Like, real actual reporters are going to ask him about fucking his mother's best friend when he gets to training camp, as if that makes any kind of difference in football or whatever, because that's our culture now in 2022. That's it. That's why he was trending, because the news got out from his ex-girlfriend that he fucked his mother's best friend, and everyone was praising him and saying, yeah, MILF Hunter, all right, Zach Wilson. I'm like, really? Can I get love for being a MILF Hunter? Because I kind of was doing this 20 years before he was. I mean, I...
Well, you know, that means you were the trailblazer, but you don't always get the credit.
I mean, if it was that big a deal, like, this is not news in any way, shape, or form.
Wait a minute. I thought you were the guilt hunter.
She was a mother and a grandmother. Yeah, that's true. But this is not a big deal. I couldn't believe that's why he was trending. We're like, dude, if we're trending for fucking MILFs, then put me in the Hall of Fame, for the love of God. This is nothing. Come on. But... you know, Brigham Young, that's all I can say, Brigham Young.
I guess it's a different world out there, huh?
Yes, that's the same school. I'm not going to get the names, and I could search it, but I don't care. But that's the same school that suspended a basketball player several years ago because they found out he was having sex with his girlfriend. That's it.
I thought that happened with a football player, too.
It was a football player
because I remember there was something – we could look it up. I'm sure it's famous, but maybe I'm sure it's not the only one. But yeah,
right. There might be separate stories that we're thinking of.
That's what it takes to get suspended out there.
I remember that. How did they find out? Like, how do you know he's fucking his girlfriend? Like, are you listening in? Are you? How do you know this?
Big Brother.
I don't know. Maybe
Putin.
In that case,
blame Putin.
In that case, it might be literal Big Brother. It might be his brother actually came in and, hey, what are you doing over there? We are talking about Utah.
They make movies about stuff like this.
Again, back to the MILF Hunter thing. Come on. You guys never heard of this? Plenty of MILF stuff out there. I was like, that's why he's trending? Oh, boy. If he wasn't a football player, I probably wouldn't have clicked. There's so many people that trend for days and days and days, and I've never heard of them, and I don't give a damn. And I never click on it, but this is because he's a football player and we do a football show ostensibly. So I felt like I had to finally click and figure it out. And because it was like 3 days of this random bad Jets quarterback training. Like, is Lou in Jersey like doing this? Why is this traffic driving so hard on Zach Wilson?
And now we know why. Huge news. I have ascended to a higher plane of existence now because for some reason, I don't know, I've been all sorts of fired up lately, so I've been a little more active on Twitter. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh, definitely.
I got called a dick eater.
I saw that.
So I have moved up. I have moved up in the world. I got somebody angry because I made a comment about this whole Brittany Griner situation, which we haven't talked about because, well, frankly, we don't talk about the WNBA at all.
Also, we have nothing to add. What can we possibly add to that story?
Right. So, but the people on, of course, the Twitter, the people on Twitter, I sound like down south now. You got to put the in front of everything, right?
Also sound like you're 78 years old.
Yeah, I was on the Twitter. And so I was on Twitter, and of course, I'm doing what you talk about, right? You're doom scrolling, and I'm at work, and it's slow, and I see this story, and I'm like, okay, so it's at the top of the news feed, so I click on it, and then you start reading, and you're like, wow, this is dumb. And the overall consensus I'm getting from all these people is that their hearts are bleeding because these poor WNBA players get paid so little that they have to fly to apparently hostile territory to supplement their income. And, of course, it took me all of about 20 seconds to realize and look up that Brittany Griner makes $2 million a year.
Poor Brittany Griner.
Yeah. So I was sort of sarcastic about that. And somebody else had commented in another thread about, you know, that league is underwater, you know, and I liked that comment. And all I did was like that comment and reply to it, like, yeah. And somebody's like, ooh, you a dick eater. I was like, wow, okay. So I that's my first time having somebody just straight, you know, ad hominem like that. So that I've ascended. I feel like I have arrived.
Yeah, man. I haven't pissed off anybody like that yet on Twitter. I don't you're doing more than me in as far as you go into stories on Twitter. You go into and actually leave comments to the people. I haven't done that. I feel like that's almost asking for it, because, you know, I'm inserting myself in a conversation that I'm really not there, but they're putting it out there in public for people to leave comments. So I understand, you know, that, you know, what you're doing and, you know, trying to engage and get, but this is what happens. This is what happens when you engage with some of these people and these people decide, you're just a dick here. Like, that's the discourse, unfortunately.
I laughed. I couldn't even reply. I was just like,
Yeah, what are you going to say back? I know you are, but what am I?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's at that point, don't feed the troll. That should be the number one rule of social media. Don't feed the trolls, right? Because that's what perpetuates these things. So somebody wants to say something stupid, because how many times do you read something and you just can watch? You just watch the thread devolve from point, counterpoint, no you, and that's all it becomes.
You're a third grader. You're a second grader. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, you only have 40 followers, so your point is invalid, right? Yeah.
That's a whole nother, exactly, a whole nother avenue to go down. But, yeah, this kind of reminds me back of our last show in Hard Truths. I got to take care of my mentals. I don't want to feed the trolls. I don't want to wake the trolls. Yep. I don't want to go anywhere near the trolls. So I don't leave comments on anything, really, because for that exact reason, I don't feel like getting seized upon by the trolls and having to defend that off and deal with that. That's something I don't – my mentals are such that if I get called a dick eater by a complete random person, it might actually, like, affect me.
Yeah, no, like, it might fuck me up for a few days. I was just like, what? Oh, okay. It actually didn't affect me at all, other than me feeling like, wow. Yeah, I've arrived.
Yeah, you have the personality. You can deal with that a lot better than me. I don't need that in my life ever.
you take it personal.
Yeah, I'm way more sensitive to that type of shit. So
it's okay. It's all right. Know your limitations.
Exactly. I got to take care of my mentals. Nobody else is going to take care of them for me.
Right.
So.
But I just thought that was funny. But yeah, no, nothing to do with that story, because it's you know, that's geopolitical, you know, that's just a pissing contest between us and Russia and that whole thing. And it's just, it's dumb.
Yeah, it really is. There's no reasons for it to be happening. There's really no basis to the holder considering the crime. Like,
right.
If any society started holding people for a few drops of hashish oil, there would be no one left on the earth. Like, that the idea that she's being held for months and months and months because of that is just absolutely ludicrous. And I wish our political side was strong enough cohesive enough to get this hashed out and get her back over there, because I think part of the reason she's still there is we're so bass-ackwards and messed up politically. We have no unity at all. We're, you know, too busy calling each other names and saying that one person lost an election that they clearly won, and having the entire party back us up on it. It's just there's nothing out there that the United States of America has never been less united. I feel like I wasn't there for the slave days, obviously, but civil war is about what it feels like right now. It feels that separate right now in this country, and I think that's a big part of why things like that can happen. We can have an American citizen locked up for almost no reason and still can't get her out.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, obviously it's in another country, but it's still, it's ridiculous. But also,
yeah,
don't cry poor, and fly to a hostile territory because you're trying to supplement your income. But 2 weeks before a war breaks out, I mean, that probably wasn't the wisest business decision either.
Yeah, she didn't think it was going to get that hostile. Obviously didn't think it was going to get that bad.
But here we are. So. That of course was all over. That spent a day in the news. So yeah, everything kind of gets its day, right? Everything gets that one day, because sometimes things don't even get a day. Sometimes they get hours, and then it's on to the next thing, and on to the next thing, and it never ends.
The massacring and blowing up of bodies at a Highland Park July 4th parade. How many days did that get? Maybe three, four.
Yeah, and really, it was nothing more than, especially on social media, nothing more than both your two political spectrums trying to be like, no, he's your guy. Then the other side going, no, he's your guy. Back and forth. That's all it was. It was a game of tennis with both sides trying to just pin the ideology of the shooter onto the other team, and it was ridiculous watching this sort of pinball back and forth. That's what it devolves into. It doesn't turn into like the problem. It turns into or both sides being like, well, we don't want him. Of course, you don't want him.
even before that morning, that afternoon, before any details of what happened. Or who the person was, even before I found out, you know, who the person was, the quote unquote argument was Highland Park's nowhere near Chicago. Don't blame this on Chicago violence. This is Highland Park. This is completely different. I'm like, is it that important to discern that this wasn't Chicago necessarily? Like,
yeah, there
really?
Were so many in the timeline. If you were just looking through the Highland Park stuff, cause I'm following it, you know, again, I'm at work and it's quiet this time of year and it's close to home for us. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm looking at it and I'm watching, and yeah, every third that somebody was making or third post was just so you know, it's not Chicago. Well, okay. It's 27 miles from Chicago, which I loved because they would put the dot right at State and Madison, right? And draw the line to Highland Park, and you go, oh yeah, I could see how that's 27 miles away. But then you forget to realize that 10 or 11 of those miles are still Chicago.
You're still in Chicago. You got to go that far to get out of the Chicago city limits.
So when you actually get to the, like, from the city limits, Highland Park was about 11 miles from Chicago.
Yeah. Highland Park is not in Chicago. It's also not Kankakee. It's not, you know,
no. We're from Chicago. So when you see a statement like this, that's not even in Cook County. So that can't be part of the Chicago area. That's how you know that person is stupid. And I saw that one time and time ago. That's in Lake County.
No idea what they're talking about.
You have no idea what you're talking about. Literally zero idea what you're talking about. Chicago metropolitan is like five counties.
Right. And Indiana, shit.
Well, right, because you got Lake County, Indiana, Lake County, Illinois, Cook County, DuPage County, McHenry County, that whole Will County, Grundy County, that whole area. That's your Chicago metropolitan area. And that extends all the way to the border now. as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you go up to, like, across the border into Racine or Kenosha, hell, those are more Chicago suburbs than they are Milwaukee suburbs.
I completely agree with that.
And,
yeah, you can be in the city of Chicago and take about a 5-minute walk and be in the state of Indiana. Oh, you're out of Cook County. You're nowhere near Chicago. Chicago's right there, moron.
So I couldn't engage with that one because it was just I was getting mad. I was getting more mad at that than anything else. Like, you people are you're trying to push an agenda so hard that you're literally willing to lie about geography.
So interested in making sure that Chicago doesn't get blamed for this. Like,
yeah.
Chicago's got enough murders to get blamed for. Don't worry about it.
Chicago's got enough of its own problems to worry about. Yeah. Yes, this wasn't in the city of Chicago. Yes, it was an affluent suburb. Wow. You want to talk about people with the secret racism? I even picked up on the secret racism of the, well, this is such a nice town. These kinds of things don't happen here.
This stuff doesn't happen here.
Shocked. This is the last place I'd expect for there to be a shooting. And I was like, you're being racist right now. That's like, and I don't.
They couldn't say the next sentence, though, Jay. Come on. They can't say the next sentence, which is, I moved out here to get away from these. And now somebody else is shooting us. This doesn't happen here.
I am very careful to throw the race card. I'm willing to do it, but it takes a lot to get me there. Because there are some people who will just throw it no matter what. Right? Everything. But wait, hang on. Slow down. Pull it back. Let's look at it. Not everything is not every single angle on every single thing. But you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
But I hear those. But I heard that one, and I was like, and not and nobody was hardly
here.
Getting called out for it, which is what was so crazy. And I was like, no.
You know why?
That's just straight
racism. People reporting also agree with that.
Are we talking about some media bias?
Oh, just a little. It's exactly like when the Ukraine invasion started, and people came right out in the media and said, this isn't supposed to happen to these people. These people are not supposed to. And I'm thinking about all the wars in Africa, African nations, that. And I'm like, this isn't new. Hello. People have been getting assaulted by other nations for thousands and thousands of years. Yeah. This is not
First
new.
Of all, the two largest wars in the last century were fought in Europe.
Yeah.
So those are first. So again, that's stupid, but that's because it's white people fighting white people.
It's not supposed to happen to them. That's what I'm like, yeah. What? Okay.
Wait, you're telling me white people don't fight white people?
According to some.
I should have gotten on Twitter and been, or the Twitter, I should have gotten on the Twitter and been like, hey, stay out of white people business.
That's right. What do you know about it? White on white crime. What you tweeted me was fitting as well, that you talked about bread and circuses, because the number one trend on July the 4th was the Highland Park shooting, and the number two trend was Joey Chestnut winning the hot dog eating contest.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I like that tweet because it pointed out two things that made me absolutely nauseous and sick to my stomach, and they had nothing to do with each other at all, but they happened to take place about the same time of July the 4th.
Right.
It's nauseating.
Yeah, because that's like you want more proof that, you know, the empire is in decline. Well, there it is. You know, look over here. Look over. Just distract the people from what's really happening and all the bad stuff that's happening. Let's all look at Joey Chestnut eating 63 hot dogs.
What? Why?
Which is
Why
crazy.
Are we looking
we
at
don't
that?
Talk about competitive eating. When you're the number one,
because we're
one,
not disgusting.
When you finish number one in the whatever contest for eating 63 hot dogs, and then you find out that the person who finished second had 38, dude,
he's flexing. He's at the top of his
he's
game.
Dunking. He's just dunking on those guys.
He got to 50 and said, "Oh, I got to keep going."
My kids watch some of these YouTube videos, and he's been on a few of them. And, I mean, just, oh, Like where somebody eats so much food that they gain 20 pounds.
Yeah.
From when they start and start sweating and just stuffing the food. It's disgusting.
It is. I'm a disgusting human being when I look at myself, but even I think competitive eating is disgusting. That's just, have you ever seen the body of that Kobayashi guy that used to be the champ?
He was like the guy before Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. Did you ever see his body? Like when he took his shirt off?
No.
He'd have all this muscle tone because he worked out like a fiend.
Yeah.
And then he'd have this grotesquely distended stomach with all this muscle surrounding him. And it was the grossest thing you've ever seen. I'm like, I think maybe that guy turned me off to it's not like I was ever a fan of it, but I believe I've had it on like in the background 10, 15, 20 years ago just because I was bored. But after seeing the Kobayashi guy, I don't even have it on anymore. I run away from it like it's a reality TV show. Like I do not have any reason to have that on my TV ever at all because it's so nauseating and disgusting. And the fact that it was trending and happening at the same time as this yet another mass shooting was just a perfect juxtaposition.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, this looks like something worth commenting on because we do I think in our part time on this show we sort of comment more on like the media, you know, and the state of things. I think we're just as critical of media as we are. This is sometimes the actual events themselves. It's the coverage of them or the spin. And yeah,
definitely.
That to me really kind of stood out, you know, that you've got, you know, trending number one, Highland Park, gun control now, blah, 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 number one spot. And then number two, Joey Chestnut and hot dog eating contest. I'm like, okay.
There was that we talked about it felt like a couple of weeks ago. It was only a week and a day ago that when that happened last Monday. It feels like a month ago. Jeez. We talked a little bit about we have been linking each other and talking and tagging a little more on Twitter lately. I think it's probably just the boredom of the summer that we've been doing that more than anything. But maybe we'll keep it up a little bit as the football season.
I'm looking forward to doing it more, being around more during football season and such, you know, being able to actually participate a little bit more in that part of it. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's so, especially real-time stuff like that, it goes by so quick. Like by the time you actually get it out there, something else has happened. But
right,
I'm still interested, you know, and obviously we use Twitter for our Thursday night picks, which I'm guessing will continue.
Yeah, I mean the what we were doing before was having a show in the middle of the week and making our pick then, and we you don't want to go back to that.
No. maybe like a limited basis once in a while if we really need to do a second one, but having just the football party and just getting it all done and out of the way has worked really well.
Yeah, I agree. I've tried to like live tweet during games.
It's not easy.
Who do that are like committed, like they have to be fully committed to the bit. I can't do that, man. First of all, I'm trying to like get a grip on who, you know, what the teams are, like who's actually good. And it's kind of hard to do that and put your head down and tweet. There's so much happening pre-snap to get set up for what's about to happen. And I try to pay as much attention to that as I do to the actual plays. And you really can't pay attention to that and be tweet. Because if you're, you know, firing off a tweet about what just happened, then you're missing the entire next 40 seconds of setting up for the next play. And the TV networks do a good enough job of making me miss some of that as it is because they're running replays of the pass play.
Right.
Yeah, it's not easy they make me get closer and closer every year to ordering the all 22s and just watching the shit, you know, without the actual network broadcast because the network broadcasts are getting almost worse to me. They're so interested in replaying every little thing that just happened, and then you can't really see what's happening to set up the next play. And I think there's more happening pre-snap now in today's football than there was when we were kids and younger adults. There's so much motion. There's so many fake defensive fronts, and then they back out and go into what they're actually running. There's so many guys running up and filling blitz holes and then dropping back or actually blitzing. There's a lot to watch and keep up and see who does that and who does that well and who's actually well coached, because that really is the big clue as to which teams are good and which ones aren't, is to get the teams that are disciplined enough to run that stuff and run fakes and show you different coverages and different packages, and then we're doing something else completely different, and you see the panic on the quarterback, say that that guy wasn't supposed to be there, what do I do now? It's actually really fun to watch that, but it's hard to see if they're not showing that to you, but anyway. So, yeah, but I'm sure there will be some things that happen during the season if you're home Sunday that we'll both have, you know, huge reactions and
oh, yeah,
have to, you know, fire it off on Twitter or text each other or something like that. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Because last year I was so removed from everything. I felt like I could hardly, you know, see what was going on. It's such limited access to watching games. I'm actually excited this year to be present. You know, we're taking the cute factors to a preseason game, so that'll be Packers and Saints. I think that's the middle of August. It's the only time the Packers play a preseason game at Lambeau, but figure for the kids that's a great introduction to going to and, you know, getting the NFL experience.
It doesn't hurt
that the tickets were $15 a piece.
And the reason is because it's not a real game, but
correct.
Hey, it's an experience.
They don't know that.
I know.
They get to watch the players, you know, and it's really at that point, it's just the Packers and the Saints. They'll just know the colors. They'll know who the teams are. Yeah, they'll get to watch a whole lot of Jordan Love. But who knows? Maybe they'll grow up Jordan Love fans, you know.
That's true.
So I remember my first ever NFL game was also a preseason game. It was at Lambeau. It was with Favre. It was early on in the Favre years there.
There you go. That'll make them they'll have more experience now at NFL stadiums than me. 10 years hosting a football podcast, I still haven't gotten out to a game. So they'll be one up on me for that as well. I did promise myself that next time the Bears get out to Nashville and play the Titans that we were going to make the drive out. It's only a 3-hour drive from here, so.
Hey, that's not too bad.
Yeah, I still want to do that, definitely.
That's not this year, then, I'm guessing.
I don't think so. I don't keep up with the schedule release and what teams are, you know, playing who and what weeks and all that stuff. That's a real big deal for a lot of people. Not me. So no, I don't think they're playing this year. But I haven't checked. I'll admit I have no idea.
I'll look at the Bears' schedule for you right now here.
Easy to look up.
Oh my! it's not pretty. I can tell you that. it's actually not too bad. I don't see. No Titans.
Yeah.
They're not playing that division this year. They are playing the AFC East.
Oh, boy. So they have to play Buffalo? Oh, man.
Do they avoid? I think they avoided the Bills, Dolphins, Pats, and the Jets. They somehow managed to miss the Bills. Oh, nope, there it is, Week 16, Bills. Sorry. At least it's in Chicago.
Oh, well, then the spread will only be 14. If it was in Buffalo, it'd be threatening to be 20.
No, I'm just looking at this. Their first two games are Niners-Packers.
Oh, fuck. Well, again, it's not about this year. Not at all.
Yeah. No, they've actually got kind of a soft middle to their schedule. They'll win a few of these games. They've got some crappy teams on their schedule.
By the way, we're about to be off the air live. Listen to our podcast. We have another hour or so that we're going to have as an after show. You can only hear it in our podcast, inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Look up In Much Less Detail on your favorite podcasting app, and you can get this show as the entire show, the live portion, and the after show. But you can only do that after we're through with this show.
Which we are. So, well, the hour.
Well, we're through with the live show.
Yep. We didn't get to your talk about the Summer League rings.
You called it when I linked you on Twitter, or you responded to my tweet about it. You called it participation rings. I think they're worse than participation rings. Participation rings would indicate you went to a league and you played in it and you got a ring for it. Congratulations,
yeah.
which is dumb. This is worse to me because it's not a real league. You're giving rings to the champions. For those who don't know, the NBA has decided to give rings out for the Summer League champions. Summer League, which contains people on their roster that are like rookies and second-year players only. Like no veterans who are any good are playing in Summer League at all. LeBron James is out there watching Summer League. He's not actually playing in it because he's actually good at basketball. Summer League is for guys who are not good yet, who are rookies and or scrubs working on their game still. And for some reason, the NBA has decided to give rings to the champions as if they won an actual league. This is a really stupid idea. It's to me, it's not akin to participation. It's akin to practice rings. It's akin to having a practice league, like Grapefruit League in baseball. Can you imagine if they gave rings out for winning the Cactus League at the end of spring training? You had a 20-10 month of March. Congratulations, Pittsburgh Pirates. You are the Cactus League champions or Grapefruit, wherever they play, and you get hardware for that. How stupid would that be? And this is basically the same thing to me. It's exhibition. It doesn't count.
Yeah.
August football. Carolina Panthers went 3-0 in preseason football. Congratulations. You should get a ring for that. No, that's just so dumb. I don't even understand why anyone would do that.
It's glorified practice.
It really is. It's championship practice is what it is. Championship.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
So it's games, but it's games that don't count in a real league. It's not an actual NBA league. It's summer league. It's not the league. It's not the games. It's not the 82-game schedule. It's not the playoffs. It's not the NBA finals, the things that people actually play for, the things that we've watched for so many years on TV. No, this is summer league, and they're giving rings for that. I don't get it.
Yeah, you linked me on that, and I laughed as much as you probably did when you saw it. It's almost so stupid I can't believe it happened, but it's so stupid that I also can believe it happened just because it's so stupid. It's soft. That's unfortunately what it is. It's really soft, and we're so soft now in general that makes the perfect sense.
It almost also reminds me a little bit of the I'm probably a little or maybe a lot more of a fan of it than you are, but all of the different home run celebrations in baseball now, you used to hit a home run, go to the dugout and high five with everybody. And that's not good enough for this generation because you got big ass chains that they put around the guys who homer in Toronto. They got the home run jacket that everyone puts on. I think the Red Sox throw you literally in a laundry basket and run you down the dugout runway and slap hands with everybody. Everyone's got to have a thing now to celebrate hitting a home run. And on one hand, I like it because it's a little more flavor. It's a little different. You hit a home run, you should celebrate. You know, not everyone gets to hit a home run. So it's one of those things. You know, I don't I try not to hate on it because it's difficult. It's an achievement and it's hard to do. And you did it. If I ever hit a major league home run, I probably would, you know, run around the entire stadium or something because it's something I'd never imagine I would do. So these guys, they make it to the majors, they hit a home run, and now they've come up with all sorts of different ways to celebrate it. So I try not to hate on that because I recognize that it's an achievement, but every now and then I'll see the celebration and I'll be like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You hit a home run. All right. That's, you know, you don't have to go through all this rigmarole because you hit a home run. That's, you know, sort of a dichotomy that I don't know how much I could guess how what side you fall on more so than the other. But for me, I'm almost kind of 50-50 on it. Like half the time I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. That's kind of, you know, add some flavor. And half the time I'm like, sit the fuck down, man. You hit a home run, especially when you're down like 11-3.
Right. Because again, it's your job.
You did your job. Congrats.
That's your job. I don't go to work if I sell something and they put me in a laundry basket and they push me all around the sales floor. Because I did my job. I helped my team, you know. but again, it's all about me, right? Everything now is like me, 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 look at me. I mean, it's no different with the football where they got to put the camera in the end zone so that the defense can get a pick. And then all of them have
everybody
to
run over. Yeah.
That's their incentive to do well. Okay.
Yeah, that really is looking.
You go, guys. I mean, but
I'm 50% on that too. You know, half the time I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. Look at that. That's kind of cool to get to run out there with all their teammates and mug with a camera. And okay, that's kind of fly. And then half the time I'm like, oh, fools,
right.
Clown, get the fuck off.
Because how many times
screen,
do we
man?
Trash a guy who gets up and does the sack dance when they're losing by 4 touchdowns?
Right. Like, come on, clown, get off the field. You
right,
see,
score more. Score.
But yeah, the players do it themselves. They look at the dude that's doing the celebrating and point up to it and say, dude,
yeah.
Look at the score. What the hell you doing? Get out of here. So yeah, sometimes they look at it themselves and then they're like, man, you acting real stupid right now. So
yeah, I haven't been too much worried about it on the baseball side, especially if it's like they're doing it in the dugout and that's how they want to have fun with it or do stuff. Okay, whatever. You guys can have your, you know, schoolyard pranks and all the little things that you want to do. Obviously, you're a bunch of grown-ass men. Maybe you should act like it, but most of these guys never progressed past puberty anyways. Those are all just a bunch of man-children.
And also, there's a lot less of like the retaliatory. Like you wouldn't do that if you're Nolan Ryan. If you're facing Nolan Ryan and you hit a home run off him, you're not getting a gold chain put around your neck when you get to the dugout because you know the next time you face Nolan Ryan, you're getting one in your face.
Yeah, you're not giving him the Jose Bautista bat flip. You know which one I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. Because the next time you come up, you know what's about to happen.
Yeah, you're getting the Texas heater right in the grill.
And don't act surprised when it happens because you know what's going to happen. So, there's a lot less of that. I think that's another reason why you can have
more
celebration.
Well, that's because if you throw the ball even inside on a guy, they throw half the team out.
That's inconsistent. That's a part of the game I don't like at all. Is some umpires are really quick about putting the warnings out there and throwing guys out, and some of them are a lot more lax about it. I wish there was a lot more uniformity as far as that goes. Because sometimes with these judgment calls, some umpires, the worst is when they give the warnings and then someone gets hit and they don't throw the pitcher out of the game because they, I guess, judge that it was accidental.
Right.
Like, really? What's the point of the warning then?
Was that because
every time you throw at somebody, then you could say, accidental, slip out my hand.
That game when we were down in Chicago for the draft and the Cubs were playing the Brewers and the kid on the Cubs threw the ball right at McCutchen and missed him, but the ump didn't throw him out even though both sides were already heated.
Had already been
so
warned,
What's the kid do? He throws the next pitch right
again
at him. It's like, my God, come on.
Exactly.
Kid, you had your shot. You threw the ball at him, you missed, and you got away with it. Consider, right, don't throw the next one into his hip. What are you doing?
The problem with that is now we're getting into seniority and what's your job, what's your role on the team. The kid probably felt like he had to, that that was his marching orders. Like,
yeah, like
dude,
he was Ed Neely or something going in there to take the six fouls.
You know what you're there for. You know what you got to do.
He's the goon. I didn't know had the goons now.
Oh, they've always had them. There's just a lot less of them. But no, it's the kid probably, you know, trying to stay up, you know, in the majors, because you don't want to go back to the minors. Nobody who goes to the majors wants to go back to the minors. Not only is it a lot less money, but it's a lot worse conditions all around. We talked a little bit about that, about how little minor leaguers are paid. It's a crime.
They're all going to be playing baseball in Russia.
They got to supplement that income, baby. So he's just trying to stay up in the majors, and he's, you know, this is my job. I have to drill Andrew McCutchen. I missed the first time, and I got to do it. I got to come back. I got to try it again, because that's the job. So
yeah, unfortunately, that's how it goes. That one was just so blatant and bad, and it was just...
Yeah, when you've warned the teams already, and the pitcher throws behind the batter,
uh-huh.
And you don't throw them out. What were you warning them about then? What was the warning?
Like, that should have been the sign. But at that point, you know what? You tried. All right. Don't be so obvious on the next. Don't put the next one right in his hip too.
Yeah, I don't understand why you give out warnings if you're not going to throw. And then I've seen it multiple times this year where you give the warnings and the guy does hit the batter the next inning, and it still doesn't get thrown out.
And he starts looking at his hand. Oh, it slipped.
It slipped out of my hand every time. Just slipped out. Just keep slipping out of my hand 3 times in a row. I don't know what's going on. Just keep slipping out of my hand. I don't understand. that's definitely the part of baseball that I don't like. I'm still, when we talk about baseball, I'm always going to rail about two things that really bug the hell out of me. And I'm repetitive and I don't give a fuck. I'm going to keep railing about it.
Oh, okay.
These dumbass umpires and their strike zones, which is getting worse and worse and worse. Although I did once again tag you with the Eric Gregg highlights from that Marlins game.
It's not only that, but he's back there doing the whole Enrico Palazzo thing too. I forgot about that.
Strike
he starts.
Everybody,
he looked like it looked like he was calling the strikes before the ball was even caught. It was so bad. And
it was terrible.
Those pitches were a foot off the plate.
Every time I see it, it's worse than when I remember. And I remember it was how horrible it was at the time. But
part is they're all called strikes. None of these batters are swinging at that crap. Those are balls a foot off the plate.
You can't swing at it. If you swung at those pitches, you would never stay in the major leagues because they're a foot and a half outside. And Eric Gregg is just ringing them all up. Levon Hernandez, the greatest recipient of the widest strike zone.
Costas is just eating it up. Like, this guy is just having this great pitching performance, and he's getting a foot off the plate.
I can
understand
way worse.
Getting a couple inches off the black, you know. This was all before they had the little strike zone box too, or the game day thing. Could you imagine if they had that technology back then, where people are posting that immediately online or on Twitter or whatever with the umps, where it shows where the dots are for all those pitches and all these strikeout pitches are all in the other batting box.
2 feet off the plate, getting called for strike 3. Are you kidding me?
No. He was throwing that two seamer. He was hooking the very. Somebody actually tried to post that in one of the responses to that video and say that it was because of the camera angle. And then somebody very quickly reminded that person that he was throwing from the very right-hand side of the rubber. And the balls were all landing a foot and a half off the plate. It's not like he was throwing. That's a lot of break if you can get from the corner of the plate to that catcher's mitt. That's hella break.
That's not camera angle. We have eyes. We're watching the ball cross over the other batter's box and getting called a strike. That's not angle.
Yeah, or it's deceptive because that person's putting the dot on there where the ball. No, it's not deceptive. No. The ball's a foot and a half off the plate.
We, again, we have eyes. We can see what's going on here.
So, yeah, that's all time. But, yeah, the umping isn't getting any better. And there's stats now to prove it. And you can track all these guys. There are entire online handles. There are Twitter handles that do nothing but catalog these bad calls and how they affect the games and when they happen. And it's actually quite interesting.
There are absolutely ump metrics out there to tell you who's going to have the widest zones, who's going to have the zones that have the most up and the most down, and all these stats are being kept. I think the umping is better than it used to be. I know it's sacrosanct to call the professor Greg Maddux something less than great, but some of the pitches he got were way off the plate, but he kept edging and edging closer and closer. He kept going. Okay, I got away with this. Let me go a little farther and a little farther.
The thing that Maddux had, though, he did have that crazy movement.
He did, and he had pinpoint control with it.
He had the control, and he had the movement, and, you know, you get that pitch on the black, and then the next inning you're getting that pitch an inch off
another,
the plate.
A couple inches. A little more, inch.
And if you can just keep pounding that same spot over and over and over, you kind of earn those calls, right?
Eddie Perez putting that glove and making it perfectly still. It was a great team effort. It was, some of those pitches were not strikes, but it was a great team effort. But I think it's better now because of those boxes, because it's so obvious that you can see how badly the umps miss, but there's still some that still miss pretty damn badly, like consistently. Yeah. You know, Laz Diaz, we're looking at you, C.B. Buckner, Angel Hernandez,
he's the patron saint. He is the patron saint of bad calls. But
Angel Hernandez.
First of all, I am going to call you out right now for being horribly racist. Because didn't you know Angel Hernandez is suing because he's been so discriminated against with racism tinged with all these people and all of this talk about how bad his umping is, that it's racism. That's what it is.
No, you just suck at your job.
Yeah, he's bad. He's bad at his job, and he's a red ass, too. So
Joe West was really bad at times, and that's not racism. That's just bad at your job.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he retired.
You can't go 4 or 5 days without Angel Hernandez trending on Twitter.
And never for a good reason. Never.
This last
one was
called a ball foul that hit right on the chalk.
Hit the chalk, and he said foul.
Foul.
How do you keep your job? How do you stay employed?
Yeah.
He's got pictures of the commissioner or something. He's got something incriminating on him that he keeps his job. I don't understand it.
He's got the pictures. Is that what you're saying?
He's got Rob Manfred in panties and a bra or something. I don't know what he's got, but I don't understand it. So that's the one thing I still complain about every time is the umps and their terrible strike zones, and I can't wait for the robot umps to come in. I've been waiting for it for years, ever since I heard of the concept, and I'm ready for it. And the second thing I'm going to rail about is the continued rumors/anticipation of the getting rid of shifting defense next year, which every broadcast talks about, every game, eventually, as the games go on, they get to the topics of the game, and one of them is always, what do you think of the getting rid of the shift? And half the time, I'm ready for them to get rid of it. They need to put the players back where they're supposed to be. And, I guess there's an argument that shifting takes away spectacular defensive plays because the guys are already in the correct position. And that's not the point of baseball.
They're
to create
in the correct
spectacular
position
plays
because – they're in the correct position because that's where the other guy is going to hit the ball.
That's the point. I thought that was the point of defense, is to stop the offense.
Do you remember? I remember us playing softball. We would adjust our defense based on who was up at the plate. Like, you knew a guy was, or one of the kids was going to hit the ball right to that spot.
They were shifting me from basically third grade all the way on. because I was such a Deadpool hitter.
Would be up, I'd be playing third base. I'd go back into like left field.
And you had to, because you had to make room for the 12 other third basemen that had just got over in front of you, because that's how bad everybody was shifting me, because I was such a Deadpool hitter. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but we were playing at Skinner. You could not play Deadpool, because from home plate to third base was about just left of shortstop, maybe, in a normal baseball diamond. If you hit the Deadpool, it was in the parking lot.
Our field was not symmetrical at all, yes.
No. First base and second base were about 10 feet apart.
I was the only person that could hit a single, because if you hit a ball and got a single, to go to second was literally about four steps, but I was so fat and slow that I could only hit the first.
And third base
everybody
was literally a tree.
Yes. That sometimes had dog shit at the base of it.
Yeah. And yeah. And from third to home was probably the longest run.
Yes. Definitely.
It was crazy.
It was not symmetrical in the least.
But it was fun.
It was great fun. We did what we had to do. Shout out to Meshack for throwing those softballs and playing even in the rain and sometimes in the cold, even although if it got too cold and snowy, you would just shift the football.
Right.
But most of the time it was softball, and he was always the pitcher, and every now and then he would take a swing and hit it about 400 feet over everybody's head, which is always fun to watch. I'm so angry still at them deciding that they have to get rid of the shift because it's not, I guess because it's not making baseball as exciting as it could be or something like that. I should start training to become a coach or something, because I take that so personally as if I'm a coach, but I'm looking at it from the coach or the manager's point of view, which is you pay me to put my defense in place to stop the other team's offense, and then you come and tell me, no, not there, can't put them there. Even though the hitter is most likely to hit it there, can't put them there because that's over on the other side of the second base bag, and we've decided that that land is off limits. You have to stay on this side of the bag. And that just pisses me off so much. Like, you're going to tell me I can't put my defense in the best place to win the game, and then when I lose the game, the owner's going to come into my office and fire me. For what? You wouldn't let me win the game. You wouldn't let me put my defense in place.
I mean, you're basically playing these crazy shifts. You are daring the opponent to hit the ball somewhere. You're giving, like, hey, hit it over here. We'll give you a hit.
And some hitters do and some hitters can't.
Right. But, yeah, these guys who go up there and they consistently beat the shift, guess what? They stop shifting. It's bad.
Won't be shifting anymore. Yes. Funny how that works.
When you're Joey Gallo and you're hitting 160 because you hit everything into the shift, there you go. You deserve
Everyone draft Joey Gallo starting next year because he's going to be hitting 240 because you can't shift him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be all over all these guys who are getting crazy shift. Crazy
Joey Votto.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys, all of these crazy shifts where you've got guys, a lot of them are lefties, you know, where you've got that second baseman playing in left field and the shortstop's playing just on the second base side of the first base side of second. It's just,
a lot of dumb
stuff in baseball right now. I don't like the extra inning thing. I don't like the runner on second. I don't like that either.
No, definitely not. That's not baseball.
And I'm not a fan of getting rid of the shift.
They were getting extra funky with the shift, too. I noticed it down here in these minor league games, and they're doing it in the majors, too. They're running the third baseman on the second on the first base side of second and having him sort of play as the shortstop or the third defender over there because they want to leave the shortstop over on that wide side on the left side of second because he's the best athlete. So he's more likely to get to all the balls over there.
Okay. Yeah.
And it works. You see, some of those guys that do try to go the other way and the shortstop makes an incredible play, gets to the ball where the third baseman wouldn't have been able to get over from his position and get to it. So there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. There's all these people that are so mad about the National League getting rid of or adopting the designated hitter, and the first word out of their mouths is strategy. You're getting rid of strategy. This is strategy. Shifting is strategy. Shifting takes intelligence. It takes research. It takes metrics. It takes figuring out what's more likely to happen and putting yourself in the best position. No one, as far as I'm concerned, can be upset about the National League having the designated hitter and then also want the shift to be banned, because if you like more strategy in baseball, you like more strategy. I don't know why you would say the pitcher bunting and risking breaking his finger is more strategy, and pinch hitting for the pitcher is more strategy, and that's great, but shifting is more strategy is somehow bad. You can't have both, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then that means that I am very consistent, because I didn't like either.
Okay.
So, right? I did not like them getting rid of the pitchers hitting in the National League. I like that there was a difference between the leagues, and I don't like them getting rid of the shift. So I am allowed by your statement to have that opinion, because I am consistent.
Well, so you weren't one of the ones screaming about strategy. Like a lot of these guys, when the DH was made universal, was screaming about that takes away the strategy of the pitcher bunting or deciding
too.
To swing away and all of that.
Yeah. It's also taken completely small ball. It is gone.
Well, that was going anyway.
How many bunts have you seen this year?
The White Sox are like the only team that do it. And that gets
down
to Tony La Russa topic.
It's because their manager's a fossil.
It's a senile old coot that needs to be fired immediately. Yes,
you
and that's all I'm going to talk
today. You got to see the clip today of Stoney and the White Sox broadcaster. If you saw the clip that I'm talking about, it's hilarious, where they're dissecting Tony La Russa deciding to intentionally walk Jose Ramirez after strike one.
On 0-1.
Did you see that?
I didn't see the clip. I saw the Twitter explode.
Knowing about what La Russa did, because it's total buffoonery, you have to watch. How often is Stoney just flabbergasted by anything?
And
not
Stoney's
often, right?
Tried to no, and he's and it's also that he's tried to defend Tony all year, and it's getting to the point where it's indefensible.
Yeah, I think this might be the one that broke Stoney, because you got to see the clip. It's all over. If I see it, I'll forward it to you, because there's a whole bunch of there's about a minute clip.
Yeah, I came across it and didn't click on it because I was just watching the reaction to Stoney and all the tweets at Stoney. Like, what do you think of your Sox now? I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, watch that. Watch the clip, because both of them are just it's comical. They know that La Russa he's washed, and he's lost that team, and that team is nowhere near as good as they should be. That's for sure. Did you have them in the World Series this year?
Probably. It
could still happen, but
however,
they got two teams to jump ahead of.
I know I said in our baseball preview that whatever success that the White Sox had this year was going to be despite their manager and not because of him. Because I knew that was a mistake when they did it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
I thought they had
the talent to overcome it anyway, but injuries and things have happened. And, you know, injuries happen to every team. So I don't want to necessarily.
They're 42 and 45. They are 3.5 games out of the wild card right now. So.
Oh, well, that's the magic number. You got to sell. Remember, 3.5 out. You're crazy.
Yeah.
If you think they're going to catch?
If you think we're going to catch the Indians,
you're crazy. You're 3.5 games behind. That's
they're five and a half games back in the division.
Right. For younger listeners who have no idea what that is referenced to, that's got 30 years ago or so.
The white flag trade.
The White Sox were in a division race with Cleveland, and the trade deadline was, as it always is, coming up at the end of July. And the way it was, and they make a white flag trade. They trade several very good pieces for basically minor leaguers, and they basically sell off. And they were the way the management was talking at the time. It was Ron Shuler the GM at that time? I think
the way he was talking,
you would think that they were 10 games out and had no chance. They were 3.5 games out of first place on July 31st when they made it's called the white flag trade. That's how terrible it was, because they were giving up and just totally throwing the towel in and getting rid of Doug Drabek and I forget the exact trade right now, but they got rid of actual players that were leading them to where they were at that point just for young pieces, for minor leaguers. And it was awful, and it was made fun of and ridiculed, and as it should have been, because it was but this team almost feels like that team. Like they're there, but they almost feel like they're not really that close, like because of the management, because you got a guy that, and that's not the first time he did that this year. He did something equally stupid a couple weeks ago. Like he either called for an intentional walk with the bases loaded, or he did the same thing where he had a pitcher's count like 1-2 and decided to intentionally walk the guy. It was like, what the hell?
Did he just wake up for a nap or something? And
I think we should walk him now. What? Yeah, that's
you
the guy.
Just described with your White Sox our fantasy team.
Oh boy.
I don't know if you've paid attention, but we've managed as of right now, we are sitting only 5 points out of the money.
Oh, no chance.
But it feels like forever. I mean, it really
flag,
does.
Right?
But that's only five. We were way out, and for just some reason, players decided to start actually playing. You know, like Marcus Semien decided to start playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite, the second choice. This might be one of the greatest second choice free agent claims ever with Matt Carpenter.
Yeah.
I love those second choice claims, because it's like, he wasn't even the guy I wanted. I wanted somebody else who's probably not even up right now anymore. But, oh, if I can't get that guy, I guess I'll take this Matt Carpenter. He's been okay.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
So it helps when your players that you're keeping actually decide to play. So
I had that, stopped paying attention. That's because we went through a really bad stretch, and I was like,
wait
till next year.
Earlier today, earlier in the day, we were tied for fifth. We'd moved all the way up into a fifth place tie, and right now we are in a group of three teams, fifth, sixth, and seventh place, 1 point apart.
Okay.
And only 5 points away from the fourth place team. So we're right there.
And a whole second half of the season to go.
And a whole second half to go with players that are finally starting to actually play baseball.
And that reminded me of my fantasy team, which I will now kvetch about. This is the worst to me.
Uh-oh.
So I've got I'm going to go down the whole list and try to figure out how many, but I've got a significant number of guys on my team that made the All-Star team. Like not a few. It's more like probably 6 or 7 or 8 guys on my fantasy team that made the All-Star team. I'm still in 10th place. My All-Stars are 12.
Oh.
My All-Stars are all guys who are like the guys from the teams that are going to get one All-Star in, and they stuck them in there.
Oh,
or
they're the pity All-Stars.
Yeah, or position scarcity. There is also the position scarcity All-Stars. So I'm going to go down the list and just, this is the worst to me. How are you guys playing good enough to be named All-Stars and I'm still in 10th place? How do you guys suck that bad but still manage to get named All-Stars? Because you're, so start
just
from
has
the,
bad chemistry.
Right. So my two catchers, remember I had picked up Sean Murphy, and he just decided to not hit at all, and I got rid of him. And the other catcher, that I drafted, Joey Bart, he got sent to the minors. So the two catchers that I picked up off the waiver wire both made the All-Star team, but they're not that good. But it's position scarcity. It's Jose Trevino of the Yankees and William Contreras, not Wilson, of the Braves. They're both All-Stars, and they're both on my team, and they're both not that good, but they're catchers, so there's not too much competition there. Austin Riley is very good. He's an All-Star. Andrés Giménez somehow made the All-Star team for the Guardians.
What?
Because he's hitting for a high average, and the way baseball is played right now, if you hit over 300, you have to be an All-Star because no one's hitting over 300. So Andrés Giménez made the All-Star team. Juan Soto made the All-Star team on name because he sucks this year. He is not good. And he's got home runs, but his average is like 240-something. It was lower than that for most of the year. But he made the All-Star team on name. Ian Happ is an All-Star. He's okay, but I think he's...
How is Ian Happ an All-Star?
Because the Cubs needed an All-Star, and Ian Happ is there.
But Contreras is an All-Star.
They got Wilson Contreras as well voted in, but they named Happ as a alter. Yeah, he's okay. He's hitting 276, 8 homers, 40 RBI, and 6 steals. That's okay.
Okay.
I don't know if that's necessarily. So that's my point. Is these guys aren't.
He's a tight.
Yeah, they're not great at all, but they're good enough, I guess, to make an All-Star team. Giancarlo Stanton got voted in. His average sucks. He got in because of the power. Jazz Chisholm got in for the Marlins. He's hurt. he might not even play because he's on a fucking injury list. He hasn't played since, God, June something or other. And his average isn't all that great, but he gets, homers and steals. So I understand, and he's exciting. But even he's not, all that. Kershaw made the All-Star team on name because he missed half the damn year. Jorge Lopez of the Orioles, because the Orioles needed an All-Star and he's the closer and he's been okay. So he's actually been better than okay, but he was clearly going to be the lone Oriole All-Star. Like there's no doubt that he was going to be the only guy. So that's why he got in. So how many was that? It was like 8 or something like that. All these damn All-Star, I'm in 10th place. This is the worst. If I got All-Stars that were actually All-Star, like if I had Aaron Judge, like that All-Star, I wouldn't be in 10th place. But I got these All-Stars. I got the
real
All-Stars. I got the scrub All-Stars. Yeah. I got the fill-in All-Star team. These are all the guys that are going to be in there in the 8th inning when everybody's gone to sleep. That's who I got. So, hell with them.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. 10th place. Fuck.
Now, I felt about a month ago when we were sitting in 9th place. So just the fact that we've started like slowly kind of creeping up the standings and, you never know. Sometimes, especially in our league, a league with a lot of heavy trading, sometimes teams trade themselves out of position, right? We've seen, how many times have we seen it? We could just look at our team and go, okay, it's a good team. Let's just ride the wave,
sure.
See where it gets us, Because there's gonna be injuries. There's gonna be some of these teams get depleted by trades, trades out of the league, or you get some crazy trades into the league. Yeah, so it'll be interesting because I've had some players. It's funny because one of the teams was trying to like offer me kind of like a dump trade. Like, okay, they were fishing really hard trying to scoop away some of our better players. And then, now I look at the standings today and us and that team are a half a point apart.
Hey, you can't get it unless you ask.
Which was weird because I was like, I'm not feeling it. That was always my response. I'm like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling these dumps. So, I wasn't quite ready to get into dump trade mode yet. I might still get there. I mean, we've got 3 weeks, left to go. See where I'm at. Some of these teams just got to get so crazy and, they just dump it in June the first sign of trouble. There's something. I mean, obviously, you're 70 points out of first, and you're in last place. I get it. Dump.
Right. But yeah, no, we've seen that plenty of times where teams decide to need that one extra piece or two extra pieces, and they make a deal. They make an offer that's too good to be true. You can't resist it. Too good to resist. And it turns out it was a little too good, and they gave up a little too much, and they wound up knocking themselves out of position. So
yeah, I mean,
that's the tightrope you walk.
We have watched teams that were coasting to first place trade themselves right out of it at the trade.
Right out.
Okay, what are you doing? So we'll see. I'm unfortunately not going to be able to attend the trade party this year because it doesn't coincide with my vacation, but it falls right before what is going to be my vacation, and I can't double up like that, you know, back to back weeks. So I will be absent from that, but you know, everybody always knows where to find me. So
so what else have we not covered, or have we pretty much covered it all?
Boy, I don't know. I had so much stuff going through my head, and then we didn't get to all of it, and I forgot what it was. That's how crazy it is. Oh, hey, did you watch any of those old Chicago videos I told you about?
No, it came up in my mind a few times in the last couple of weeks to go check it out, but I kept forgetting.
Yeah, you get the moment. Go and find that. The Museum of Chicago broadcast something or other. And enjoy. So do yourself a favor. It's your homework assignment.
I definitely got to do it now. You've mentioned it two shows in a row. So I'll have thoughts on it in our next show when I come back from our cruise, next week.
When are you off? When are you off to the cruise?
Fly to Orlando, Florida next Sunday, early in the morning, because the wife loves those very early flights in the morning. So
I just hate to tell you, the boat doesn't leave from Orlando.
No, it will be leaving from Orlando the next day on Monday, and we'll be – this is a short one for us. It's not one of those 8-9 days. It's only 4 nights, so we'll be back get back off the boat Friday in Orlando and then fly back home Saturday. So
okay.
It's a quick week for us. Definitely be enjoying the time off. I don't have to go to the Bahamas to get any sun because I live in Memphis, Tennessee. We have had so much sun this summer. This is about the hottest summer in the 11 years I've lived down here. I think it's the hottest summer that we've had. It's been in the hundreds, like easy, for the last two
weeks.
Trust
me, I remember.
Man,
I lived through many summers down there, so I definitely can attest to that. And it's not just hot; it's humid.
It's you can't take a breath outside humid because the air is so thick. It's like
Yeah, don't leave the house between like noon and 5.
Yeah, unless you have to,
Right. I remember those days. I mean, we'd just be sitting in the air-conditioned house with the grandparents because I was always spending my summers down there with them, and if we wanted to play outside, we played outside in the morning or after 5.
Ain't nothing changed. These people around here cutting grass and doing lawn work, they are not doing it in the afternoon. They are doing it either in the morning or at 7 in the evening.
I used to cut the grass. That was always one of the chores I always did when I was at my grandparents. And, you know, I was out there right after breakfast cutting the grass.
Right.
And make still sure sweating. Because then you got the morning dew, right? Because, you know,
I mean,
it's not only that it's 100 during the daytime. It only gets down to about 80 at night.
Right. It's 80 in the morning when you're doing the cutting. It's not like it's cold.
Right. It's not like when I lived out west and we'd have a heat wave come through and we'd be in that 95 to 100 degree range, and as soon as the sun set it was in the 50s.
Yeah, that's different. I don't know anything about those temperature drops.
The dry mountain west. I love it.
Yeah.
I can handle 95 degrees when the humidity is 15%.
Sure.
I can handle that all day long. I was like, oh yeah, it's nice out. It's warm. It's not that 100 degrees up here. They call it air you can wear.
I like that.
That's one of the local, one of the weather guys. You kind of hear that term picked up. Yeah, it's hot and muggy. Air you can wear.
And Montana is not Arizona. The 95 is different up there than down there in the south, and as a southwest. I've heard about that humidity and mugginess, that it actually might be worse than here in the mid-south. I don't want to experience that.
Where's that?
Arizona.
Well, Arizona has no humidity either, but it gets to be like 120 degrees.
Right, okay. That's what I was thinking.
That's where you're like in Phoenix. I remember driving through Utah. We were driving through some canyons. And this was, you know, it was so cool because it was when we had one of those first cars that showed you the outside temperature.
Oh, okay.
And we get off the highway, and it is like in the 90s, and we're driving through this canyon, and we just keep watching this thing going up and up and up. And all of a sudden it's at 108.
Oh.
You know? It's like, no way. No way it's that hot. I was with my mom. We were on a road trip with the family. I was like, pull over. I want to get out. I want to feel 108. Oh, my God. It was so freaking hot. And it wasn't humid. But, I mean, you just got out of the air-conditioned car. Right? You go from the climate control 70-something degrees or 70-degree right. car, and you get out in 108 degrees. It just takes your breath away. It's so hot.
Don't ever need to experience that.
No. That's why I couldn't go to Vegas. Like, I'm glad we went to Vegas when we did. Vegas in January, I'm all for it.
Freaking had snow up there in the Grand Canyon when we took a little detour from
Vegas.
That was
weird, wasn't it? When we went on that Grand Canyon thing, and it was in the 40s up there. But if we were in the sun,
it was in the high 30s.
Yeah, but if we were in the sun, we were cooking.
Right.
But then if we moved into the shade in the tent, we were freezing, and we just kept going back and forth.
Right. It was very odd. It's funny you bring up Vegas, because I'm not seriously considering it, but they're so desperate to get people back out there between the desert heat and the COVID. They're still probably recovering from that. Like, you can get rooms for like $10 out there right now. It's like so cheap, and I'm thinking, my wife, there's no way in hell she would do that, because she knows how hot it is. But me, I'm such a sucker for a good deal. It's so hard when you see $10 to stay at the Rio or whatever, and it's like, God, how can I turn that down? I'm not going to do it, but I was considering it. I was looking at it a little bit. So.
You know,
it's cheap.
Would it be that bad to go to Vegas when it's this hot? Because when you think about it, everything is so connected. And if you're staying at your casino during the day.
Exactly. You're not walking out there in the street when it's 100 and whatever degrees.
Right.
If you're
walking to the next building, or you're walking across the street.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about like when we were taking like the bus and we were just standing out there in the street.
No.
I don't think you want to do that in these temperatures.
No.
Yeah, you're right. It goes from casino to casino in their connected way and stay in the AC. Yeah, a lot of those buildings are connected to where you don't have to go outside at all. You just go from casino to casino. Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. I didn't know it was like that, but that's, you know, very smart, obviously.
No, it makes total sense. It was an experience. Hard to believe that's 6 years ago already.
Yeah, a long time ago. I mean, we keep talking about it. We got to get back. It was so much fun.
At least once. Got to get back to one time. Yeah, because what did we see? 5% of what there was to see?
Probably, yeah. and we still saw a lot. We, you know, on the monorail and all
that.
Yeah. And took the bus to old Fremont. Although someone had a shooting on Fremont Street recently. So can't escape that.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like the old West.
Right. Bring it back to the guns. Always can't get away from the guns. Always get back to the guns.
Authentic experience.
And Biden's gas crisis, we had some fun with that on Twitter as well, talking about all the slamming and shaming was getting for the high gas, and then all the praise and love he was getting now that the gas is coming down a little bit. And I'm like, do you people not understand that he's not sitting there with a button pushing the gas price up? He has nothing to do with that.
Well,
what the hell?
It was so bad, too, because, you know, I really feel bad for in all of this is Putin, because apparently all of the gas increases were all his fault, because it was like with the Putin price hike and the Putin tax and all that stuff. But then when the prices went down, nobody gave Putin any credit.
Right. Yeah, either way.
I didn't see that thanks Putin hashtag on Twitter.
If one guy is getting all the blame for it, and he should be getting the credit, I guess, when it comes down. But how about recognizing the forces at work and realizing that it's got nothing to do with one guy? There is no one guy here or in Russia that's controlling the gas prices. It's a lot more complicated than that. But complicated than that.
Well, you even went out and pointed out to me that the tweet that Biden had put out about was he scolding the gas station owners trying to lay this on them? It was like it was everybody else's fault.
I think it was more the owners, the oil. But he was basically telling them to put the gas prices back down, and no, they're not going to. You can say that.
Like if you just said pretty please with sugar on top.
I really hated that. I hate politics. I really, because
it is pretty bad.
Because you can sit up there and be tough guy on Twitter and say I'm telling the gas owners and the oil owners. They're not listening to you. They're not going to do anything you say ever. So it doesn't matter. But he wanted to make his statement and make it seem like he was the tough guy. So good on him, I guess. Whatever.
Well, we covered a lot. That's kind of what I
deliver me from all of this.
We're all over the place on this show.
Again, we could fill up 2 hours, 3 hours every day. There are people that do talk shows 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. And they get commercial breaks, and they get to have producers, and they get to have showrunners and figure things out and get ideas from them. And we don't have any of that. It's just you and me doing what we do.
We could just sit around and be idiots and come up with like top 10 lists and off-season power rankings and anything to generate debate and people getting mad about stuff. And it's so dumb.
Trade grade. You made fun of Baker Mayfield getting a trade grade.
The trade grade.
We're going to grade the trade.
They graded the trade.
Players haven't played at all, and we're going to grade how this trade went.
And they tried to give the Panthers like an A-, and the Browns a D. It's like, really? I mean, that's when I was making my posts on there about how Baker's not that good.
You're a dick rider, a cocksucker. What did it call?
No, that wasn't the one. A dick eater.
No, I know. Yeah. No, but in any opinion that you put out there, you're just a dick eater.
But yeah, trade grades. Like we spent a whole draft aftermath doing nothing but knocking trade grades and how nonsensical they were, right?
Draft grades, yeah.
Draft grades, right. But now we get trade grades.
Whatever gets people clicking and talking, that's all it's all about. That's all it is. Just get people engaged and talking and calling each other cock eaters.
Right.
That's it. We miss our calling.
You unlocked the secret.
Yeah, we missed our calling. Just find a way to get everybody arguing and call each other cock eaters and then say they're going to go to a parade and shoot you. And that takes care of everything.
All right. I'm good.
Yeah, I think we're finally finished here. Cover every possible topic in and out. Sorry. And you know what? We didn't. I have not said a single word on this show or the last show since all these reports have come out about Vince McMahon paying all these women hush money that he sexually assaulted and had sexual relations with, inappropriate relations. And Wall Street Journal has been putting out hit piece after hit piece on him. I don't know what prompted all of this, but all of a sudden it's been reported and discovered that Vince McMahon has years and years of millions and millions of dollars of hush money going to women that he had affairs with or was accused of raping in some cases. And to which all I can do is shrug my shoulders and say, it's Vince McMahon.
Yawn.
How did you not know that he was this type of person? The first thing that popped in my mind when I heard about all this was he had an angle with a female wrestler. I don't know how familiar you might be with her. It was named Trish Stratus. She was a Canadian fitness model. She was hot as fuck. There's pretty much nothing about her that you could point a flaw at. She was basically perfect. And he had an angle years ago where he was cheating on his wife with her, and this is when WWF was really having really goofy, stupid ass angles and stuff. The wife, Linda McMahon, was playing a role like she had taken some drugs, like he was drugging her and making her sit in a wheelchair in a catatonic state. So that was the angle, was that she was motionless, and they'd be in the middle of the ring in front of 20,000 people, and Linda had to sit there acting like she was catatonic, and meanwhile Vince McMahon is taking Trish Stratus and shoving his tongue down her throat in front of everyone. And I'm like, really? This is the wrestling angle you guys could come up with? Was the owner was so hot and powerful that he could drug his wife and make her sit there and watch? That is so obviously him playing out his sexual fantasies in front of everybody that he wishes he could have his wife sit there and watch him fuck all these hot women. Like, come on. So no, there's no surprise at all that he was that type of person to have all these non-disclosure agreements and all these women that can't comment on who exactly they are because they signed all these NDAs and he's got all this hush money. No surprise, no reaction at all, except to say that when Donald Trump got elected, I said, you people took a guy who was born on third base, thought he hit a triple, had no right to be as successful as he was in life, except he got all this seed money from his daddy to get things going and was able to build a successful company, but had no social value, had no redeeming qualities, had no real human connection with anybody. You guys just elected Vince McMahon president of the United States. I don't understand why you did that. And boy, was I on top of that one. I could not have possibly called that more perfectly than I did. It turns out they have a lot more in common than I thought, because I didn't know Vince McMahon had all these sexual assaults in his history. But there you go. Vince McMahon and all of his glory with all his non-disclosure agreements, and no surprise that all that's come out. And by the way, his response to that was to step down as CEO of WWE. Who stepped up to be CEO?
His
daughter, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that solved everything. Uh-huh.
I think, yeah.
That was my thoughts on all that.
What's wrong with that? Come on.
Sure. Step right in. Jeez. No problem.
Yeah. Just takes right over, you know.
Seamless. All right.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Do you have anything else at all? I know I slipped
out
in the last second, but.
No, I'm good. That's good. We've literally covered everything and more than I expected to. And that, hope you have a good trip. And we will do this again for Baseball HOF.
Sounds good. Coming back on the 23rd of
24th.
July. 24th.
Well, we'll be doing our show on the 24th.
Yes. Sunday the 24th, Baseball Hall of Infamy, hosted by Jay. That will be our next show. Hopefully you will all join us then. And hopefully you enjoyed whatever the hell that was the last 2 hours. Talk to you then.